Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Well, hey. Cool, thanks for stopping in. Welcome back.
Oh, you're welcome, Katie. I love stopping in.
Just so good to see your face.
I have a take on the Met Gala. Has anyone talked about that recently?
What's your Met Gala take?
I don't think galas is a term we should use. I don't like
gala
it.
Apples.
I don't trust it. Just call it a party. Just call it a party. God damn it.
Interesting. Like,
yeah.
You're gonna have a thing? Call it a thing. Don't call
it
a different thing.
Do you think you are naming your party after an apple?
Yeah, exactly. Let the apples have something. Come on. They sacrifice so much for us. Anyway, what are we talking about this week? Who are we?
So many
what
things.
Are my name?
Who are we? What are our people? My dad used to say that I'd come downstairs in the morning and he'd go, "Who are you and who are your people?" And I'd say, "I'm Katie and you are my people." Anyway, my name is Katie and you are my people.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good. That's good.
That was cute, right?
That's cute.
Mm-hmm. We've got lots to talk about today. I wanted to start with a little update from last week. Yeah, Robert, you were not here with us last week. You were traveling.
I sure wasn't. I was I was in the south of Spain.
Losing your luggage.
I did lose my luggage, yeah.
But we had a really great interview discussing the potential upcoming IATSE strike, which would be the first industry-wide strike in the entertainment industry that they'd authorized. And as of last week, we weren't sure what was going to happen. But as of last night, it looks like IATSE is recommending a strike authorization vote. So that is happening as of right now, or looks like it might be happening very soon.
Which TV show does that mean we're losing?
Just about all of them, I'd say.
Oh no!
Every show.
Even Frasier,
especially Frasier.
Oh no!
That one's. Yeah, they.
The old ones and the reboot.
I'm positive that Frasier's contract is long expired.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's good. At least I
no
can
new
still...
Frasier and no recreation of old Frasier.
This will
episodes.
Not impact the airing of reruns. But this is a big deal, and it is a cool thing, and it is important. I know a lot of our listeners are not in the entertainment industry, per se.
Good for you.
And it's very, like I said last week, it's very easy to look at, you know, entertainment industry and Hollywood in general and be like, these guys, these glitzy, glamorous guys and dolls up there on the big screen. The reality is very, very, very long. Grueling hours, unsafe conditions, especially during COVID when the entertainment industry was rushed back in. And having shot myself during this time, it is really difficult and intense.
Didn't seem like it sucked.
Yeah, and literally would not be possible to make anything without everybody on the team here, you know, and they have been misused for a long time. And this is incredibly important. Yeah, it's going to affect some things, you know, and the industry better pay
or
attention.
Or they'll be like, oh, wait, never mind.
Or it won't. But, you know, I want to
do what it's supposed to do.
Right. Or it will quit as it should, you know. Just want to quickly point out something that has been discussed online. But God damn it, I'm saying it here, too. Pretty unfortunate that literally nobody stood up there on stage at the Emmys on Sunday and mentioned this strike. And they do know about it. They should know about it, you know?
That is extremely interesting.
I didn't even know the Emmys had happened. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
They sure did.
There were jokes
and jabs
and japes.
I'm sorry, you were still busy unpacking last week's gala to unpack the Emmy fashion. But I am surrounded by people. This is obviously important to me. We all work in LA, but well, I guess Robert, you don't anymore. This is an industry that I've been a part of for a long time, and something that I've been saying, and I'm for a long time is that these working conditions have to change. And I am proud of everybody standing strong with this union. So that's my update from last week.
Hell yeah.
Can't see, but I just raised my fist.
Yeah, you did.
Support.
Yeah. Well, good on you, Ayatsi. I will generally say you in an Italian accent.
Ayatsi.
Spicy meatball.
Other things to talk about this week.
5 6s.
Spicy meatballs.
That's a Yahtzee.
Spicy meatballs. Okay, now we're going to pivot to something pretty dark, and that would be Gabby Petito and this whole case that we have watched unfold over the past week and a half. And I have several different things to say. I want to talk about what happened. The first thing I want to talk about is how upsetting it is that, again, a beautiful, thin, blonde, white woman makes front page news and captures the heart of the world when she goes missing, when women of color go missing every day. In that area, there was something like 710 missing indigenous women from the last 9 years that nobody has any idea what their names are. Nobody pays attention, and it's a huge problem. And this isn't news to anybody, and yet every time somebody that, you know, I mean, it's just racist. It's racist media coverage. It's also, I mean, and yes, you can point to the fact that she was a blogger. Yes, there is that social media aspect, but it goes above and beyond that. My heart is broken for Gabby Petito and her family. And yes, I do not, I think that all resources should be invested into finding, you know, missing women or missing people in general.
The discrepancy between how her case has been treated and how a lot of indigenous women disappearing is treated isn't on her and doesn't mean like people shouldn't care about the fact that she was murdered. That's not what anyone is saying when they point this out. But we should also keep in mind that like indigenous women are murdered and sexually assaulted at rates about 10 times as high as the average women and disappear at a disproportionate rate. We actually don't really have a great understanding of like how common it is. Last year alone, nearly 5,600 Native American women were reported missing. It's a real issue, and it is important. Again, like nuance is important because we're not saying like fuck Gabby Petito. Like we're saying like, well, now we're talking about a missing woman, and it's probably worth pointing out again to everybody that indigenous women frequently go missing and nobody gives a shit, and maybe we ought.
And we're working on bringing someone on in the near future to talk specifically about this because it deserves its own intense focus and conversation to unpack. I'm going to read this. This is a you know, different versions of this sentiment have been floating around online, but this is one from Twitter. Gabby Petito's life might have had an incredibly different ending if the police officers who pulled them over on August 12th were at all familiar with what domestic violence actually looks like. And that hits me because it's true. When I look at that video, I'm not sure if any of you guys have checked out the body cam footage from when they pulled, you know, were interceding and talking to Gabby and the fiance. Gabby's incredibly distraught and clearly been gaslit, like manipulated into thinking that she was a problem. She's not sure what happened, but what I saw was a woman who was hysterical and her boyfriend had kicked her out of the van because she could, and she needed to get in and get her work done. And they treat, you know, and people point to say, how could the officer have known? How could they treated her very kindly? And they were kind, but they were missing something very obvious that within 10 seconds I saw. And maybe that's because I know personally what that feels like. Maybe more women are able to respond to that in a visceral way and immediately see the signs. But the fact that this officer was not trained and did not understand what they were encountering felt very palpable. Also, people point to the fact, you know, it was framed like she was the aggressor. And turns out there were multiple 911 phone calls, one saying that he had hit her. Regardless, you know, in the video, he's holding up his hands and the officer saying like, oh, did she do those claw marks on you? And that is a telltale sign. I mean, rapists and abusers frequently have marks from women on their body from self-defense. So those are two things that an officer could have looked at and pointed at and said, like, oh, this situation is not what it may seem on the surface. All of that to say is that this is incredibly common. I mean, if you look at the domestic abuse rates during the pandemic, I think they've rose by like 8.1% just during lockdowns. Three women are murdered every day in the United States from domestic abuse. And cops, over and over and over again, do not properly respond to domestic abuse situations. And again, speaking, circling back around to all of the missing women of color that never go reported. This is all a part of it.
Also, a lot of cops.
40% of cops or 40% of households with police in it have domestic abuse is the actual statistic. But yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very, very disturbing. And yeah, I couldn't watch more than a minute of or two of that. And then, of course, we could talk about how they let him get away.
I mean, I was going to talk about how the real villain here is vans.
Okay.
Why are we still doing the van life thing?
Minivans or vans?
Just van life in general. It's not 2012. Come on, people.
Are you suggesting a replacement for vans? Or are you suggesting just not any aspect of it?
Yeah, just get no more van life. Get rid of vans. Get rid of Instagram.
I'm okay with van life. I'm pretty over abusive, shitty men.
Well, yeah.
I'll keep the van. Get rid of the man.
Mm. I mean, I guess the non-joking part of it is that I think you can't disentangle this from, like, influencer culture. Like, it seems like we're probably going to find out that this guy was using his relationship and the way that it was perceived in order to make money. And, that is a pretty inherently abusive situation. Like, one of the problems with, you know, speaking as someone who's lived on the road for a long time, one of the things you have to be really careful about is that, like, you're kind of leaving your support networks behind, which is a great situation for an abuser to be in with a partner.
Absolutely.
Because you're in the desert or wherever.
It's isolating.
Yeah.
that's a part of the process here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're correct. There's a lot to be discovered still about this story. I'm not going to, like, discuss whatever random facts that aren't facts yet that have been thrown around about what he may or may not have done and what other murders he may or may not have been involved in, because that's all theory at this point. And I don't know. I've been feeling really dark about this all week. It's been awful.
And like you said, it's just one of the many, many, many stories we don't hear about.
Yeah. Again, before we move on, I'll just say that I think it's desperately important that everybody starts to acknowledge and recognize what abuse looks like and how it can manifest, and to take it seriously.
I don't know what would have helped in this specific case. Like, obviously, theoretically, police who gave a shit could have helped, but I don't think that's particularly likely in the policing system. Like, I don't think there's any amount of training that would have made this officer give a shit.
No, I agree. I mean, in general, sorry, this is personal for me in many ways.
Yeah.
I have not had the same experience that Gabby did, but over the past few months talking to a lot of women, I know that a vast majority of women have incredibly disturbing stories to tell about how they've been treated and how people have believed them. So when I talk about believing people and looking for signs, I mean, like, really proactively changing how we move through the world and interact with people and have these conversations and have an awareness of just how common it is and what it looks like. I'm not saying that that would have changed this situation, but I think that it might change yours individually. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Should we take an ad break and come back with something new?
No.
Okay, let's
dead air right for 3 minutes and then an ad break.
Sorry, was that too intense, what I just said?
No, not at all. It's the story. It's what's happening.
I feel very, like, I don't know. It's really fucked me up this week.
Yeah, I mean,
not,
like,
really, but I just am like, yeah.
The amount of places you've seen coverage for this story is, like, you can't get away from it.
It's been everywhere.
I think there's like a huge aspect of like TikTok in this too, that like where it spread all over TikTok. And then before we started recording, I checked it. Literally, all the top podcasts on the charts are talking about it too.
Great.
Yeah. So it's just,
that's who needs to be doing this. I mean, that's what we're doing too, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, can't.
But
it's definitely going to be in our title.
I love shitting on podcasters, but guess what?
I mean, it's just like spread like wildfire, and it's like, you know, in one way that's good, but another way, like, keep that same energy. That's just the thing for me. I'm like, I'm glad that, you know, like, I don't think you really got in. You didn't mention this at all, Katie, but I know you and I have talked about it, but it's like the amount of coverage led to those people fucking knowing what that van looked like, and then they were able to find her.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
Now,
I mean,
was, now
the fact that everybody was paying attention to, it's not that you shouldn't pay attention. It's that we need other people.
It's like if that same energy was put out there for other
people. Well, and the rise of citizen journalists have, you know, made some amount of difference in cold cases and whatnot. I mean, we talked to Billy Jensen that one time, and he's big on that. So, like, there truly is incredible work being done by people using social media.
Open source journalism, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're back from break now.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to include any of that or not? Nah?
Yeah, let's include that and let's go to break now.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Yeah, we're at the border. Moving along from a sad story to a
another
sad, sad
horrific
story.
People are right when they're like, if this was happening during the Trump administration, there would be liberals crowding airports to protest, you know?
There was. We've had no changes from our immigration policy.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's
Title 41 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
After 41.
I think we should start by kind of clarifying something, which is that, like, the way this is getting, like, framed by a lot of the, like, right-wing media is that, like, they're swarming over the border. They're like, crossing into the U.S. illegally. They're not. The Del Rio Bridge, the area in which they're setting up their camp, is in U.S. territory. It's this kind of like weird geographical area where they have not like crossed the border formally, but they're in U.S. territory. And they have to be, because you can't file for asylum unless you're, you know, in U.S. territory. So
you
like,
got to go to where you're.
You have to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have to be where they are. They're not doing anything improper. They're just fleeing a nightmarish situation in a country that, like, listen to our two-parter on Haiti. They don't have a lot of options. And they're doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing legally.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been the case, the frustrating case, where it's like, there's illegals. It's like, well, no, they're doing the thing that they're allowed to do.
Yeah, they're literally obeying the law that you guys set up. That is stupid, but they're doing it. They're obeying it.
And it's just very bizarre to see, like, people, like, on the left, like, you know, obviously, like, all these deportations and, like, the images we're seeing and how it's terrible. We shouldn't be doing that. And then seeing people on the right, like, look at the crisis. And it's like, isn't this what you want?
Mm-hmm.
You want, like, all these people to be deported? Like, this is what you want. What is it you're
right, you're literally
about?
Getting the thing that...
Like this,
they're catering to you right now.
The amount of people who are trying to seek asylum is what you're mad at, or the fact that we're not letting. It's just it's very maddening to see.
They just want to be mad, yeah. And the images that we're seeing from this right now of people on horseback with whips corralling.
Katie.
Yeah,
they're not whips. I'm going to quote
Frogs.
From the article, okay?
I swear to God,
it's
Robert.
Very important. It's very
okay,
important.
Okay, accuracy.
That you not,
give us the accuracy.
You not inaccurately call them whips, okay?
Okay.
All right, one sec. So this is from the Yahoo News coverage. After one of the officers in vests unfurled a cord resembling a lariat-like whip and steered his horse to block the immigrants, one tumbled back into the water. He got up and tried again, but the officer swung the cord again near his face. So they're whipping them. They're swinging cords, not whips, just cords that resemble whips near their faces. It's fine.
Sorry,
it's
the optics
fine.
Are fine. I change my position.
I just love, as a journalist, like you get into the field of journalism to speak truth to power and comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And then you're like, well, we got to make sure we're not unfairly calling this cord a whip that he's hitting
oh my God.
a homeless refugee with. go to Border Patrol? Like, was that a whip or was it a whip-like cord?
But also, even if you want to be like the most accurate, it's not literally a whip. They didn't buy whips.
Yeah, they didn't go to the whip store.
You can say that they used cords to whip people.
Yeah, yeah.
They use cords in a whip-like manner. They use cords, which are ostensibly
they
whip
yeah. some cords like, around.
Yeah, you can whip people with a... I whipped a man with a beltfish once. You can whip people with a variety of tools.
That's why you can whip people with a branch, mm-hmm. with a stick.
Look, as the song said, when a problem comes along, you must... Oh, wait, no. Okay,
you must
sorry.
Cord it, yeah.
No, yeah,
you must cord like it.
I shouldn't have gone down
but
that
just train. But just say, like, a cord... used in a whip-like manner, a cord that might as well have been a whip.
Yeah.
Like, you can still be accurate and not have to
it's
do
it's very
that.
Frustrating. Very, like, that kind of splitting hairs is just like, go fuck yourself. That's not journalism.
And it seems small, but it's really important because, yeah, it's all about what picture you're painting for people. And yeah.
I'm sure that guy went home being like, oh, well, the hoi polloi online all freaking out about whips. I found the truth. It was a whip-like cord.
Yeah.
Did my job today.
Being used to, well, I guess cord can't be the verb. What's a good verb to describe using a cord in that way?
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen this point being made that I agree. You know, we made sure to, well, I don't know if we made sure, but there was all of this hullabaloo about making room for Afghan citizens that were fleeing their home country, and understandably, as we should, and we bear a lot of responsibility for their situation. We also bear a lot of responsibility for what's going on in Haiti, not
we
as
sure
directly
do.
Per se, but just
no,
as
no,
bad.
No, no, as directly. We've
directly,
invaded
okay,
Haiti
great.
Repeatedly. Yeah,
thank
as
you,
directly.
Thank you. I was like, well, I mean, we didn't like fail at a war for the last 20 years. We failed at a lot of other things that are directly,
well,
you know.
We've cumulatively militarily occupied Haiti for at least as long as we were in Afghanistan.
And actively oppressed their own autonomy and economy
and
infrastructure.
Coups and
yep.
Yeah. Made
so
them be a debt to,
yes, we are as responsible to these Haitians.
For sure. We've been fucking with Haiti for a long time.
It is truly abominable. And it is frustrating to look at people that are very ready to cry foul at Donald Trump. But when it's Joe Biden,
just
what is he supposed to do? His hands are tied. What's he supposed to do?
It's this Senate parliamentarian shit where it's like, this is all such a horrible problem when Trump was in office, but like, Biden, what, you expect him to do something about ICE? It's a rogue agency. Well, then take their money.
Right.
Don't have like, ICE anymore. Yeah. And be like, well, motherfuckers, you're not going to obey the law. Fuck you. Send in somebody to beat him up. You got a lot of people who could beat up ICE. You're the president. Fuck him up.
And
fuck him up, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about your excuses. You're the goddamn president.
It's not who we are. I mean, sure, there are our organization. And
send in the Marine. Bomb ICE with Harrier jets. Also, unretire the Harrier jet, because it would be pretty rad to watch.
I saw somebody tweet, like, fire everybody and hire more different people to work here. It's like, wait, so the problem is with ICE is the people working there?
I mean, that is one of the problems. That's not, it is deeper than that. I would say if Biden were to fire them all and start the process of hiring new ICE people, I would be like, well, that's probably going to make it better.
Like, make it a little better. Yeah. Maybe they'll use like rope-like whips instead of cord-like whips.
So the majority, I mentioned this is a moment ago, but from what I understand, most of these deportations are happening under the CDC's Title 42, which was implemented in March 2020 under Donald Trump, and everybody was very pissed off about it. But, you know, Title 42 was supposed to, you know, under the excuse of we want to limit coronavirus spread, et cetera. You know, it's supposed to curb the flow of it. But he's been promising for months to roll back Title 42. And they keep saying they're about to. And now he's just using it to deport these people.
This is just like the thing that
also vaccinate
do.
Them. Come here. Give people vaccinations if they want them.
there's a picture of the ICE agent, one of them with the whips. He's got like his fucking, he's got chaps on and he's got a plate carrier, like body armor, and he's got a fucking cowboy hat. And it's the ultimate expression of like what baby LARPers they are. Mm-hmm. None of that is like, I guess the chaps you could argue are necessary because he is riding a horse, but like he just wanted to look cool. If you are wearing a plate carrier but not a helmet, you're full of shit, you're not in danger, and you just want to look cool. Because if you're actually afraid of getting shot, you don't wear a fucking cowboy hat on your head. Also, if you actually care about your own safety while riding a horse, you would wear a helmet as opposed to a cowboy hat. Because if you get bucked off that horse, do you know what protection a cowboy hat offers? None. Like, he just, and you can see in the smile on his fucking face, like this is his fucking dream ever since he was a kid. And I just wish Geronimo would come back and deal with this motherfucker. Like, also, it's a shit cowboy hat. Like, fuck you. Like, everything about these chuckle fucks is frustrating. I don't know. Where do we... They're all right chaps, though. I'll give them credit on the chaps.
Hell yeah. Like, good job on the chaps.
As a chap connoisseur, I've seen worse.
Really, really nailed the chaps.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a little brief intermission. I want to talk about this article from the Washington Examiner that's terrible. Haitian migrants revolt in custody and seize control of privately contracted bus. Okay. And now, first of all, hell yeah. That sounds like quite a story. And maybe, you know, one hopes they got away, right? Maybe the Haitian migrants revolt in custody.
I hope they get a free bus.
Free bus. And it's just this, you know, it's obviously framed to be like, you're scared of the migrants taking the bus. Now they're here. And it's very fear-mongering. The last sentence of it reads, the two people who confirmed the incident said law enforcement searched for the escapees and recaptured them. The primary source for this article was from yesterday, and they had been recaptured by yesterday evening. And it's just, like, very frustrating to see this kind of thing, just like, because obviously people are going to share it around, like, oh, look what happened, either,
they,
yay,
so they drove around
for
an afternoon,
well, it's
basically.
Dishonest, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, just, like, if your primary source is an article from yesterday saying, like, that they were recaptured almost immediately, and you say that in the article, maybe
don't... What's the
point
of the article?
What's the point? And don't lead without that information. The point of the article, obviously, is to, like...
Make people
scare
angry.
Scare people. Right. Exactly. Anger people and scare them. And it was just very frustrating to see a person just be like, look at this wow, breaking news. Like, no, this is from yesterday, and you didn't explain a very relevant part of it. And it's like not important in the grand scheme of things, but I think it speaks to a lot of like how you got to get those fucking clicks, you know? You got to get those.
Nothing matters more than the clicks.
Yeah. So I guess don't click on that article is my point.
You don't click on the article. Don't have listened to this episode. Shit.
Yeah.
Purge this from your brain, but not the part where we tell you not to click on that article.
Mm-hmm.
Purge
don't
what we
read.
Said. Remember that. Don't read.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Ever. Anything.
Well, shit. What else are we doing?
Do you guys want to take an ad break now? It's been like 15.
You know who won't do it for the clicks?
Do it for the clicks.
Yeah.
This is like, do it for the boys. Just do it. Okay.
Let's hear it for the clicks.
Yes.
Okay. All right. When we come back, Katie and I will sing the best hits of the 80s and early 90s.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Just simply the best.
So I have something I wanted to talk about.
Rest. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with the Herman Cain Awards subreddit?
No.
Is it COVID?
Yeah, well, yes, people? Of course. Yes.
It's clearly like people who said COVID's not a thing and then died of COVID.
Yeah, it's specifically every post is just sort of celebrating somebody who had yelled about how COVID isn't real or the vaccine isn't real and then died.
Oh, it's so dark.
It's just that. And it's exploded in popularity. There's a Slate article about it today that's kind of grappling with this, and it points out, quote, subscriptions to the Herman Cain Awards subreddit are increasing logarithmically from 2,000 subscribers on July 4th to 5,000 at the beginning of August to more than 100,000 on September 1st to 243,000 on Friday to 276,000 today. That's outrageous. That's a massive, that is an enormous rate of increase. And that is, I just kind of want to talk, like, how do you feel about it? Because I've been, full disclosure, I've been dipping in for like the last couple of weeks.
So it is, to be clear, people making fun of people that have died of COVID.
It is making fun of people who denied the reality of COVID or right. the efficacy of the vaccine and then
and
died. It's not just like laughing at people who died of COVID.
I understand the appeal, but it's a fucking tragedy. And it's tragic to me that they, so many of, I mean, certainly there are.
It is certainly tragic, yeah.
Ghoulish people that actively, you know, spread disinformation mm-hmm. that got, and knew what they were doing and got COVID and died. But so many people have just been swept up in this.
Yeah, it's really hard
political
to
sidism,
not, yeah.
And I don't like us losing our humanity and losing sight of the fact that this is a tragedy. Our good friend, a good friend of Cody's and mine, a cousin, anti-vaxxer, passed away this past weekend of COVID, and her whole family's wrecked.
Yeah.
And the whole rest of the family went and got vaccinated. And
God.
And so
is that what happened? Did they?
Yeah, they all did. The people
good,
that were resistant.
Least.
At
yeah.
least. That's so good. To me, it's like coming at, like, I know that it's fun to, and it's hard. We're angry and frustrated, and these people are keeping us from getting a handle on the pandemic.
It says something that the subreddit is called, like, what, Herman Cain or like
the Herman Cain Award, yeah,
Herman Cain Award, because
like
Herman
the
Cain
Darwin
is
Award.
Like a public figure with a big platform and like spreading misinformation in a possibly knowing yeah. way, and I think. I don't know. It's important to sort of like recognize that like there are victims of misinformation who it would be great if they didn't and if their, you know, political ideology didn't lean towards these other people. But like, I don't know. I think there's a difference between like if Tucker Carlson died of COVID, I'd be like, ha ha.
That would be extremely funny. That would be amazingly funny.
Right,
yes, absolutely.
As opposed to like random people who've been like worked up over decades to like trust these fucking liars,
yeah,
and these insidious ghouls to not do the thing that they should be doing. I don't know. It's very.
You're not wrong in that, Cody. At the same time, because again, I try to be honest on this show. I'm not a very good person, and I've never pretended to be. I have dipped in, especially on days when I've gotten angriest.
Sure.
You know, I can remember my first warning sign of how truly bad the pandemic was going to be was showing up at the first anti-mask rally in Oregon and seeing like a crowd of armed people spitting on nurses and doctors with signs that were just saying, please, we don't want you to get sick and calling them diaper mouth. Right. And there's an extent to which I won't defend morally. I will defend morally making fun of Herman Cain because motherfucker had plenty of chances to not do what he did.
And well, right, that's the thing, yeah. like, is, yeah, there's, like, yeah. tiers of people, I think, where
yeah.
it's like, all right. Like,
yes,
yeah.
yes, yes. And a lot of the people on the Herman Cain Awards subreddit are just, like, normal people who got conned and
yeah.
died as a result of it. And that is sad. At the same time, their actions and sort of the mass actions of this anti-vaccine movement have had a disastrous... I have so many friends in the live events business and stuff
yeah.
who are... Like a very close friend of mine, like a partner of mine, is like has been finally getting back to like doing live events because there's ways to do them quasi safely now, and was just overwhelmed with anxiety before
yeah,
getting back to it, before getting on the plane. And she's vaxxed, everyone's vaxxed, they're doing everything they can to be safe. And I think like the example of Lollapalooza shows like it can be done relatively safely, but like the sheer level of fear that she had trying to get back to her life, and the fact that she lost a year of income. And a lot of people did. And it's
yeah.
because of this bullshit. And I guess I can't, well, I can't morally defend laughing at people who are just got conned. I also can't condemn people who feel like they need that schadenfreude, finally.
I think you've made so many great points that I agree with. Of course, it's all true. And I understand that desire and that inclination and that anger. I'm disturbed though by increasing dehumanization of each other. And this piggybacks off a conversation we had last week on Even More News with Natalie Scherr about the conversations surrounding unvaccinated COVID patients and hospitals and insurance, because many, many, many liberals are out here saying, well, we're angry with them. They're continuing this. They're the problem. We shouldn't cover their stuff, and their insurance shouldn't cover their stays, or they shouldn't be allowed to take up space in the hospitals. You know, coming at it from this side point, which to me sets off all of my alarm bells, because you're taking this anger and you're going to a place that's antithetical to what we all talk about and believe in. And so that's what I caution against when we go into these spaces and are grappling with these conversations, is how do we honor our anger and frustration,
right,
while also maintaining our humanity? Because, and maybe you don't want to, and I get it, you know, I get it. It's kind of like deciding to forgive your ex because it's better for you emotionally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Did you guys see that Breitbart article where they were
talking about how we want to trick people into taking the life-saving vaccine so that they don't take the life-saving vaccine and they fucking die?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's like all of it. It's just a fucking mess. And like, obviously, also, like, a lot of people who are like, you can say vaccine, there are people who are vaccine hesitant for various reasons, and a lot of them are anti-vax because of their political ideology and how it aligns with the sort of Trumpist way of looking at things, which is cruel, which is like a form of American fascism. And so I also understand people who are like, well, fuck those people. But it is really hard to paint everybody with one brush. And straight up, if you think that we're tricking you into thinking the vaccine is good so that you don't take it to die, take it, and then you
own us.
Like, you'll, like, I'll be so embarrassed if you take the,
I'll be so owned
vaccine
when I can finally go back to an indoor
please
rave.
Don't take
I'll be,
this
I'll be
vaccine
just unbelievably owned.
Like, it's how such about a weird, like, warped reverse psychology, like they're
should
doing
we,
it to themselves.
Should we try it? Should we make some commercials?
It's so weird.
Guys, please don't get vaccinated.
Yes. Yeah, don't
please
do it.
Don't
yeah,
do it.
We don't want you to get vaccinated.
It's just a complicated mess, and I wouldn't, you know, it's just, again, it all comes down to, like, Tucker Carlson has been vaccinated. There's no fucking question.
Oh, for
he's
sure.
He's one of the first people to get vaccinated, and he's killing people. That's what he's doing. That's what's going on right now. And they are, you know,
and he
I don't
knows
know.
It.
They, I don't
he's
know
100%
aware
of what
knows
he's doing.
It. And I don't know everybody's individual story, but many of them have been fucking lied to into this dangerous thing, and it just sucks all around.
And they, I mean, part of the complicated thing is that, like, the most effective disinformation spreads because somebody you trust tells it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way it works. So we talk about how it's these influencers, but it's also these individuals who are dying, who are saying shit on Facebook to their 200 friends,
yeah,
are a big part of the disinfo spread.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not as much a part of the moral blame as that, because they're getting it from the big influencers, but they're the ones who are convincing family members.
It's true, but creating a Reddit to make fun of people like that isn't changing anyone's mind. Isn't changing the people that are influencing their family members. It just pisses them off more.
Is there any hope of that? Like, I feel like
no.
We tried. I feel like we tried to change minds. And I guess here's where I am is, like, they have the information's out there. A tremendous amount. Like, I've been one of the people, like, publishing journalistic articles on COVID disinformation. So I have a lot of colleagues of mine. It doesn't matter. It didn't help. So why? I can't say it's a good thing to do the Herman Cain Award shit, but I guess I don't think people have any responsibility at this point to care about fixing the problem, because the problem is so intractable and they have no ability to fix it. Like, at this point, maybe the best way to fix the problem is for enough of these people to die that the rest get scared and get their fucking shot.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
That, like, was not how we wanted it to be, but that is where we are.
Well, that's like almost every one of these stories is somebody gets sick who said that, like, I don't know, whether it was a microchip or just, like, I don't know, it's you know, we don't have enough data about like long-term effects, whatever their reasoning is. They don't do it. They get sick. They die while saying, I should have gotten the vaccine. Yes. And then five or six of their family members get the vaccine. I don't know. It's just,
I just don't like what I'm seeing in myself and in people that comes up with this, you know? And so that's what I want to protect against in myself. But I do, again, understand. And yeah, I mean, I get it. I get the allure and why it exists. Yeah. I just...
Yeah, it's not good. It just... something can be bad and also not really our problem anymore. Like, it's...
Maybe that's a healthy mindset. Maybe I'm too codependent.
It's not codependent.
No, I'm just making fun of myself. Yeah. But, like, in general, like healthy boundaries are something that I struggle with. So when you said, like, at a certain point, it's not my problem anymore, I'm like, well, that sounds healthy.
Yeah, if this had cropped up 8 months ago, I would have been like, this is fucked up. But, like, my God, they've had... everything has been done, you know?
Yeah, it's very... And, like, that's the thing, like, the people who are, like, willfully ignorant to. Like, I saw Chris Rock got COVID. He has been vaccinated. He said, like, hey, I just got COVID. You don't... Please get vaccinated. You don't want this, because he's probably having a bad time with COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably would have had a much worse time if he didn't get vaccinated. And I saw what's the fucking guy? Tim Pool was like, but, Chris, I thought you were vaccinated. And it's just, like, your will... It has been so long. You know what the vaccine is for. You know what it does. You know that if he didn't get it, it would probably be much worse for him. So, like, what is the goal here? What are you trying to do? Why are you trying to sow this doubt in people when you know it's like been a year and a half, almost 2 years at this point?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's definitely been 2 years from when this was happening. It was spreading in Wuhan this time.
Right, right.
You know? But, yeah, I get... And not to be like, ooh, what if? I just don't want there to be a variant that is evading the vaccines that's evolved that we have to go back into an entire other lockdown. That's the other part of it. It's like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, just,
you know.
Well, at this point, like, what is the lockdown going to do? It's going to piss people off and then, like, not be effective because it's not, like, people aren't going to do it, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's, like, I just want to sort of echo, like, there is a helplessness about a lot of this stuff where it's like, it just feels like what can be done.
What can be done.
But I don't want to end on that note. So
I've got, how about we talk about, I don't have it right in front of me, the Texas doctor who went ahead and did an abortion.
Good dude.
Said, come at me, come at
bro.
It. Good dude. Alan Braid, and he is a San Antonio physician, and yeah, he performed an abortion. He told the Washington Post, he was just out there saying it, basically, come and get me. There were two lawsuits pretty quickly filed, and I love this. A former Arkansas lawyer, Oscar Stilley, who said he is on home confinement serving time after a tax fraud conviction.
Yeah, that sounds like the guy.
Filed a civil complaint against the doctor Monday in Bexar County District Court. He said he decided to sue the doctor after he read about the case. After he read about the case early Monday morning and wanted to test the Texas law. The doctor is going to get sued, Mr. Stilley said. Someone is going to get $10,000 off of him. If that's the law, I might as well get the money.
Amazing.
If it's not the law, let's go to court and get it sorted out.
You fucking grifters.
So, you know, I'm glad that he has such strong moral convictions of someone's going to get the money. It might as well be me while I sit here serving time for my tax evasion. Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's very funny.
But this is, you know, what we knew would happen. Like, the only way that we potentially see some changes here are if this case goes all the way to the Supreme Court and
right,
then they can rule on the constitutionality of the law. Because before they were just shrugging at a loophole. But if this case goes, it would directly question whether or not the law is constitutional. And that's something. Although, again, the court is filled with people that suck. Also, I believe it's December 1st that that other case directly challenging Roe will be seen. So cool. Fun things to look
up for.
Yeah,
we'll hit on this more later, I'm sure. But I think that's
no, we covered it all.
Bounce us for the day.
Yeah.
I think so.
We should talk about Amazon's factory towns in the future.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. We also need, yeah, we'll talk about a lot of good stuff in the future. But for right now, you know what I want to talk about? Joe Manchin's come.
Wait, what? Oh,
God.
Joe Manchin's come.
What's now, the consistency?
Cody, Katie, did you guys ever do that thing where you made like your own Play-Doh in elementary school?
You're going to ruin my childhood with whatever this
association
is. Now
imagine if instead of using water for that, you used raw milk, like raw goat milk.
Stop
right,
it.
Straight from the udder. That's the way Joe Manchin's cum comes out. And I imagine while he's coming, he sounds like an old man with a prostate issue. Like it hurts. Like he doesn't enjoy coming.
He calls masturbation milking it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like pushing a soft boulder out of a foam wall.
What are we doing?
Yeah, he calls it. I'm milking chunks over here.
Yeah. Right? That's what Joe Manchin says when he comes. I'm milking some chunks.
I'm milking chunks.
Hey, let's push the Manchin meeting 10 minutes. I got some chunks to milk out. Then he puts them in his coffee. Yeah. Joe Manchin.
My camera's off, so you couldn't see, but I crawled under the desk.
That's the end of the episode. God bless you all.
Good day to you, sir.
Everyone.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.